The news agenda this week, of course, has been dominated by politics. But one story I wanted to bring you was of the hero bus driver, Ronan Ward. Now, he was on his route to Dublin and pulled over the bus to save a man who was in a distressed state on a bridge in Strabane. I spoke to Ronan earlier this week and he told me what happened.
I was doing my normal duties. I was at 7 o'clock X3 Translink service to Dublin, from Derry to Dublin. And I picked up my passengers at 7 o'clock in the morning and set off on the journey, which, like many other, was just an ordinary journey, you know. But whenever got to Strabane, I was driving across a bridge and I seen an altercation happening between... There looked to be three people standing on the bridge, and one of them looked to be climbing over the railings. There was a girl and there was another fella that was standing. So immediately I just pulled the bus over to just kind of block the road, opened up a door and looked out to see what was happening. And then I noticed that there was a gentleman, and he was middle-aged anyway, and he looked in a lot of distress. And he was at the other end of the railing at this here stage, you know, at the water's end of the railing. So immediately I phoned the police and got in contact with emergencies and just says, look, there's a man in an awful lot of distress here. He looks mentally unstable, and he's at the other end of the railings towards the water part of a bridge. And it was all on, you know, could you get somebody down here? So when I went over then, the fella was very, very, very emotional. He was shouting. He was very depressed, very depressed. He says, you don't know what it's like to be depressed. So I tried to chat to him and tried to get a connection with him, trying to tell him, you know, when you come over, said my bus. I was, oh, you know, I'm going to Dublin. I'll take you down to Dublin. I'll chat with you. I says, I'll get you a fry. I says, you know, we'll have a good chat and thing to get us here. I thought he was coming round himself a bit, and I thought he was going to try and come over onto the safe end of the bridge again. But he just ended up then. He started shouting, you don't know, you don't know. So it turned out to be us discussing with him. Ended up me and the other young boy actually holding on to an arm each and trying to stop him from harming himself.
What's going through your head? Because you, Ronan, you're just an everyday Joe like myself. Yeah. And you're just doing your daily job, and something like this comes totally out of the blue. So when you're trying to talk someone from potentially taking their own life, what were you thinking?
My initial thing was just trying to get a connection with this here man, because, as you say, you know, nothing really prepares you for this. I had no training for it, and I was just off of keeping chatting, and, you know, even keeping chatting the police or whoever, you know, that are professionally trained in this here, can actually get down and help this here man out. But my initial thing was just help this here man, just make sure you keep him safe, make sure that nothing happens, you know.
Because many, Ronan, and not out of any reason of selfishness or disregard for human life, but many people would be afraid to get involved in that situation and would have walked or driven on by. So why didn't you?
Yeah, it's probably just the way I am. Whenever I seen it, I thought, I have to do something, you know what I mean? I have to go out and help these people. I have to help this man. Whenever I got over there, it was all, you know, it's not happening my watch. I'm gonna do everything that I can to try and bring him some peace, to let him, you know what I mean, maybe help him out. And that was exactly all I done. I suppose it does sound a bit strange that a lot of people wouldn't stop, and to tell you the truth, it's quite natural they not stop, because some people might see it and think, well, maybe it's just a drunk boy and it's about a fight or about a Barney or something they got there, you know. But, you know, I was glad I did actually pull over and get the police and run over to help this here man.
And how long were you there for?
Maybe about 15 minutes.
And then you just left the bus at that point? The passengers were just waiting on you,
yeah,
watching you, I assume?
Yeah, more or less, yeah. I just kind of ran away. And there was a good joint team effort. There were a lot of people came, and at this year's stage, the police had come, and we had managed to securely keep a hold of the boy, and there was enough bodies there for a good tug to try and get him to the other side of the water. But there was one young fella that he was in a working van, and he had a harness on the back of it. He must be working on scaffolding or something, but he had a harness. So he strapped a harness on the end of the bridge and jumped over at the water part of the bridge and was able to lift the boy's feet up. So we were able to drag him in across and get him off a bridge.
Incredible.
And yeah, and you know, it was a really, really good joint effort. I think if it had been just two people on their own, we wouldn't have had enough strength for it. So we wouldn't have.
It's difficult to talk about mental health problems if you don't experience it yourself, and what this guy was clearly going through. He just felt that he had no other option. And how did it end then once you had brought him over the railing?
Well, when we got him over, the police and all was on the scene too as well, and they were there, and we took him to one side, and I said, look, it was me at Phoneys, and they had him at the other side. Once I knew he was safe and they were sitting, people were chatting to them, and, you know, there was no immediate danger to him. I walked over to the bus and realised that I had to carry on with my journey to Dublin, so I got on to the bus, and I was quite clearly shaken, but I wasn't shaken with the ordeal and the traumatic ordeal. There was a lot of energy that I exerted, and I think I was running on a lot of adrenaline.
Any of the passengers say anything to you?
Yes, they did, yes. Whenever I got onto the bus, I stood up and I says to everyone, look, I apologise, because people might be looking to get to the airport now, and I says, I apologise for letting you run late, I says, but there was an incident there, I says, and we've diverted the person away, I says, and thankfully, I says, he's safe hands now, so I do apologise for keeping you all back. But they all started giving me a round of applause, and so they did, and they were branding me as a hero. They were all, you know, you just saved a man's life there whilst you were working, and it was quite nice. It was nice to get that there, so it was.
In terms of what you did say to him, to try and convince him that his life was worth living and that he didn't have to take that extreme act and take his own life.
I was saying to him that, look, depression, and I know, because I know people that do suffer with depression, it's quite rampant in the north of Ireland, and especially in the northwest, there's a lot of people. And I was saying to him, look, you know, there's help out there. I says, you know, although it looks bad today, you know, you'll be able to look back tomorrow, I says, but if you try and do something now, there is no tomorrow to look back on.
Ronan, thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
No problem. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Incredible story from Ronan there. The lifeline number 0808 808 8000, and Samaritans are on 116 123. We have heard on this programme, many programmes, about the effects of depression and mental health and the different issues around that, and the stigma that can sometimes be present and we find it difficult to talk about. On the line now is Linda Bryans, who works with Aware Defeat Depression. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Vinny.
It's quite heartening, I guess, to listen and to hear someone like Ronan who did stop. And then when we mentioned the fact that some people would find it difficult to do that, are we afraid to take part, to get involved? Are we afraid of what might happen?
Well, what a remarkable story of Ronan, who, as he said himself, he just got up. It was an ordinary day. He went to work, and then to be faced with that sort of a situation, nobody would expect that. And most of us, I imagine, would have looked at that and driven on past, thinking, well, it's not my business, or there's people with him, I'm sure he'll be fine. But yes, I do think it raises a wider issue, and we are sometimes afraid to tackle mental health head on like that. We're afraid to raise it. We're afraid to maybe suggest to somebody that, you know, maybe you're struggling a wee bit at the minute. We're afraid to raise it because as he said, you know, who's been trained in that sort of thing? None of us has any training. We're not social workers, all of us. We're not any kind of counselling. We don't have any counselling experience. But I think it's important, you know, as he said a couple of times in that interview, he tried to connect with the guy. And that's sometimes what people really need, that they need a connection. They need to know that, well, I think above all, they need hope, really, that there is help available, and there's plenty of help available these days.
It's difficult, Linda, I guess, for people that don't struggle with their mental health to understand the mindset or what's happening in somebody's head when they are feeling so low that they feel they need to take real drastic action.
Yeah, well, I mean, my own mental health problem was a long time ago now, but, you know, it left a deep and lasting impact that, you know, I remember aspects of it very, very well. It's, you get to a state where you just can't function in the way that you would have previously. You know, your decision-making ability is affected. You can't concentrate. In my case, you know, my memory, I couldn't remember anything good happening in my life. And all of that, you know, affects a person's personality big time. And so when your personality is kind of being chipped away from you, your confidence goes as well. And on top of that, maybe you're not sleeping, you're not eating properly. So it really affects every aspect of our lives. At my lowest point, you know, I became quite reclusive. I wouldn't go out. I didn't want to meet people. I wouldn't answer the phone. And it wasn't until I got help and until somebody said to me, look, this is treatable. You can get help here, that I actually, you know, turned a corner, I suppose, and started to recover a little bit.
And how bad did it get for you, Linda?
Well, that's it. I mean, I couldn't do my job properly. I was in the last 3 months of my pregnancy. At the time, I was working in London. I was commuting. So there were a lot of big things happening in my life. And very often, big life changes will bring on a period of depression or mental ill health, like, you know, a death in the family, maybe illness, the loss of a job. So big life changes sometimes can trigger these. But sometimes it's no reason at all. We can't really put a finger on it, which is why I suppose anybody at any time can be susceptible. One in four of us at some time in our lives will have depression in Northern Ireland, and that's pretty high when you think of it. But, you know, I wasn't going out. I wasn't, you know, I didn't want to speak to anybody. At my lowest, I just wanted to disappear, you know, and we do hear people and we know about the incidents of suicide in Northern Ireland. I don't think you can speak about those two without talking about the word suicide. And some people are, you know, brought to that point. I certainly, yes, I wanted to die. I didn't want to be around anymore. I wanted to disappear. But I wasn't going to do that myself. I knew, you know, I wasn't going to take that step. If someone else had, you know, if I'd been accidentally in a car accident and died, I actually thought that was a good thing. That's how low I was. So, and that's not the person I am, you know, normally yeah. That's not the person I am. And so, you know, these things, it affects every aspect of your life so that you can't function normally. You can't function without help.
Okay. Linda Bryan, thank you very much for your time this morning. And as Linda says, there is a lot of help out there. If you can just ask for it, we'll give you these numbers again. Lifeline 0808 808 8000 and the Samaritans 116123. Alistair, good morning.
Good morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
Vinny, I just want to point out, whenever I was listening to the bus driver mention that you know, he was an average man on the street, and he didn't have training, maybe like the police, in relation to a situation like that. But police do not receive training in relation to dealing with an individual who is possibly going to take their own life unless they're a trained negotiator. So police basically have to depend on previous experience from dealing with previous situations like that to deal with the situation and basically use common sense.
It's a difficult topic for people to talk about, Alistair, when it comes to your mental health and your well-being. Do you think it's a stigma? Is it going at all? Are we finding it easier to talk about issues like this?
Well, it's certainly a situation that police are having to deal with more and more, and police do not have any more knowledge of mental health problems than anybody else does. And certainly, it's the type of thing that I believe police should have more training in, because it's so prevalent.
Okay. Alistair, it's a topic I'm sure we'll talk about more on this programme. Thank you very much for your time this morning. I want to give you a website as well, aware-ni.org. They have 23 support groups across Northern Ireland. So if you visit that website, it's for yourself or maybe for someone that you know, a friend, a loved one, a family member. That's aware-ni.org.